I'm Chaim Ben Pesach from the Jewish Task Force, JTF. I can't greet you like I do every week by saying Shalom, because we're not supposed to greet each other on this day. I'm doing this program on Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is a day on the Hebrew calendar, and it is the worst day of the year for the Jewish people on the Hebrew calendar. More tragedies, more catastrophes occurred on this day than any other day on the Hebrew calendar. For instance, Beit HaMikdash, the Holy Temple, was destroyed on this day. The first one was destroyed on this day. And then Beit HaMikdash HaSheni, the second Holy Temple, was also destroyed on this very same day. And many other terrible tragedies occurred. And therefore, we're not supposed to be greeting each other. It's also a fast day. We have a 25-hour fast on this day. The fast is as long as the fast on Yom Kippur. There are only two 25-hour fast days during the year on the Hebrew calendar. One is this day, Tisha B'Av, and the other is Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is the Day of Atonement for the Jewish people. You can also see that I'm unshaven because we have a period of mourning where we're not allowed to shave, and so I'm also unshaven on this program. In any event, that's the day that we're broadcasting this program to you. The subjects we're going to be discussing on the program today are how JTF was the only group that was truly right from the start when it came to Donald Trump. Since 2015, we're the only group that really told you the whole truth, and we're going to explain that, you'll see. We're the only group that really told you the whole truth since 2015 about Donald Trump. And now everybody's saying what we said from the beginning. In the beginning, nobody said it, but now everybody's saying it. After the Trump-Putin summit, everybody's saying what we said originally in 2015. And the second issue we want to discuss again is Bibi Netanyahu's endless betrayals and the betrayals of this evil government in Israel with their so-called ceasefire with the Hamas terrorists. And today you have a huge gay march, a so-called gay march in Tel Aviv. I mean, it's just horrific what's happening in Israel. And this is a so-called right-wing government. What a phony government. We're going to explain to you what's going on in Israel. But first, this program is dedicated to Refuah Shlema, a complete recovery, for Sharon Katz, Shlomo Ben Avraham, and Dorit Bat Sara, and to elevating the souls of Simcha Bat Rachel, Pesach Zeb Ben Chava, Harab Meir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Bari Hoffman, Ruven Hoffman, Robert Mittman, and Sipora Fegi Bat Liba. Let's start off with the horrible situation in Israel. Bibi Netanyahu has agreed to another so-called ceasefire with the Hamas terrorists. The Hamas terrorists murdered another young Jewish soldier, shot him to death on the border. And Israel tolerates the fact that thousands of Hamas Muslim terrorist missiles are landing on Israeli cities and villages and communities. Israel tolerates this. Can you imagine if someone went on the Mexican border, the Canadian border, and started firing thousands of missiles into American cities? Do you think the United States would allow this to continue to occur as Bibi and Israel have allowed this to occur with the Muslim terrorists? I mean, this is just sheer madness. Bibi responds to the firing of thousands of missiles by destroying empty buildings, by having the Israeli Air Force go in and bomb empty targets, by warning the Hamas terrorists in advance so they can get out of there so that Israel can bomb empty cars and empty targets. This is how they respond to the murder of innocent Jews, to the paralyzing of southern Israel's economy, to this endless terror that the people of southern Israel have had to live with for many years now, ever since the insane Israeli retreat from Gush Katif. Gush Katif was a community in Gaza, a Jewish community in Gaza. And when the Jews were in Gush Katif, there were no missiles being fired into Israel. None of that was happening. Gush Katif, the Jewish settlers in Gush Katif, protected all of Israel and were a buffer against these types of attacks. And we were promised when Netanyahu voted for the expulsion in Gush Katif, and Netanyahu did support the expulsion from Gush Katif. Now that lying pig goes around saying that he was against it. He voted in favor of the expulsion from Gush Katif. And he was the treasury minister under the traitor Arik Sharon, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro, when Arik Sharon expelled the Jews from Gush Katif. He was treasury minister. Netanyahu financed the preparations and the training and everything else that was needed to do the expulsion. It was Netanyahu that provided the funding and financed it. Without Netanyahu, there would have been no expulsion from Gush Katif. And then at the very end, he pretended that he objected to certain aspects of it. Complete fraud, liar, two-face, hypocrite like he has always been. And the only thing more tragic than having a lying swine like this as prime minister is having so many sick, disgusting Jews that continue to support him and pretend that he's a right-wing prime minister and he's doing good for Israel. He's a disaster for Israel. And the latest so-called ceasefire with the Hamas terrorists is another example of that. Moshe Feiglin from the Zehut Party, whom we support, whom JTF supports. Moshe Feiglin from the Zehut Party plans to get the Arabs out of Gaza. If the Arabs are out of Gaza, there won't be missiles flying on Israeli cities. And of course, Moshe Feiglin plans to institute this policy of offering compensation for the Arabs to leave throughout the land of Israel, not only in Gaza, but also in Judea, Samaria, in Yerushalayim, in Jerusalem, our eternal capital. And even in pre-1967 Israel, he plans to offer the Arabs compensation to permanently leave the land of Israel and never come back and never even be allowed to visit. That would be a dream come true for Israel if we had that type of program. And polls show that 90% of the Arabs, some polls show 80%, some polls show 90% of the Arabs in Gaza want to leave. In fact, 100,000 Arabs left Gaza in the past 2 months. 100,000 Arabs left on their own without any compensation. It's a nightmare. It's a hellhole over there under the rule of the Islamic terrorists. They want to leave. They desperately want to leave. We can help get them out. We can get them out if we have an Israeli government that is a Jewish government under Moshe Feiglin and the Zehut Party. We saw another example today also of how sick and how evil the situation is in the land of Israel. We had today in Tel Aviv a massive gay march. Homosexuals marching thousands. It wasn't really massive, but they turn it into something massive. They're trying to make it something massive. Thousands of homosexuals marching through the streets of Tel Aviv, demanding the right to adopt children, demanding the right to have gay marriage and raise families in the Holy Land, in the land of Israel. And the news media, of course, which is 100% pro-homosexual, the left-wing news media, making a huge issue out of this. And by the way, Netanyahu wants to do this. He wants to give them all of this. He's just concerned about the backlash because in Israel, this is not popular. Most Israelis are against this. In Israel, this is not popular. Israel has not yet reached the moral sewage levels of the United States. But Netanyahu and his ministers, they support the gay marches, the gay agenda. They support the whole immoral agenda of people who want to do what the Bible says, what Hashem says, will lead to destruction, and what has always led to destruction throughout history. Every time, even non-Jewish empires, and then the rules for non-Jews are much less strict than the rules for Jews in the Holy Land, but even non-Jewish empires and nations that have accepted the gay agenda and that have accepted things like gay marriage and gays adopting children, which is a form of child abuse. Every time in history that this has happened, those empires that accepted this lifestyle fell and were destroyed and were eliminated from history, were eliminated from the face of the earth. In any event, we need new leadership in Israel, and that's something we're trying to reach people with. That's something that makes JTF a unique organization, because we're supporting, first of all, the only party and the only leader that's worth supporting, Moshe Feiglin and the Zehut Party. And of course, we have difference of opinion even with Moshe Feiglin and Zehut. We're to the right of him. We're Kahanists. But we support him because he has taken good stands on most of the issues. On most of the issues, we do agree with him, and he's taken stands that are very positive for Israel and for the Jewish people. And so we're supporting him, and we're bringing a message to the people of Israel as to why it is essential that they vote for him and they support him, and why it is essential that we oppose Netanyahu and his phony right policies. Because in the end, the phony right winds up doing more damage than the open left. And we see that same situation in the United States. But of course, the more you support us in Israel, the more people we will reach with this message. the more that people will see that there is someone with solutions. There are answers. There is an alternative. Give us a chance. Just give us a chance. And we can provide a magnificent alternative for the people of Israel. An alternative that will bring redemption to the people of Israel. Just give us that chance. Let us reach enough people. If we reach enough people, we can change history. We can change people's minds. Because a lot of people in Israel are very concerned about the things that I'm speaking to you about. A lot of people in Israel do think positively about the things that we're suggesting and are receptive to our message. If only we could reach them. That's the key. And so the more you support us, the stronger we get. You support us financially, spread the word about us. The more you support us, the stronger we get. The more we are able to make a difference, and the more people we're able to reach, and the better chance we have to turn things around for the Jews of Israel. I want to talk about Donald Trump again, because you know that JTF took a huge hit in terms of its English language movement. We lost a lot of supporters, especially non-Jewish supporters, in our English language movement because we came out against the orange buffoon, the orange clown, the orange Mussolini, Donald Trump. We didn't lose anybody in Israel. Our Israeli movement is more important to us. That's more important to us. And the Hebrew movement is more important to us. We didn't lose anybody in Israel because of that. Even if people in Israel may agree or disagree with us, it's not the issue of Donald Trump is, for Israel, for Israelis, is not an important enough issue for them to leave or stop supporting us. So in Israel, it didn't affect us. But in the United States, all of the incredible fools who drink the Trump Kool-Aid, who left us. What did we say since 2015? One of the things we said is that Donald Trump is a corrupt puppet of Russia. He's a puppet of Russia and he's a puppet of Soviet dictator Vladimir Putin. And yes, I said Soviet dictator, because even though the Soviet Union supposedly no longer exists, Putin runs Russia like the Soviet Union, the way the Soviet Union was run. He murders his opponents. He jails his opponents. He commits the same acts of KGB, Gestapo, treachery and thuggery that you saw in the old Soviet Union. There's no change in terms of the tyrannical policies of Putin. No change whatsoever. And we warned you since 2015 that Trump is a puppet of Putin and does whatever Putin tells him to do and is a traitor to the United States because he will betray United States national security and United States national security interests. He, under blackmail from the Russians, will betray America and betray America's most important national security interests just to protect his fat orange tuchus. So this is something that we warned you about since 2015, that this fat, filthy, orange buffoon would betray America and is completely, completely beholden to Putin and to Russia and will do whatever they say. And that's something that nobody else was saying. Nobody went as far as we went in saying that, you know, Trump is actually a traitor who would actually betray America just to please Putin and that Putin really has completely blackmailed him. There were suspicions here and there. There were suspicions that were raised. But nobody actually said outright what we said. Now, everybody's saying it. Now, members of Congress and senators and others are all saying yes. Now, it's true, the people saying it are Democrats, and they're also scum. The Democrats are also scum, and the left-wing media are also scum. There's no question about it, but what they're saying about Trump being a slave of Russia and being beholden to Russia is obviously true. Just look at that horrific Trump-Putin summit. And you phonies, you pseudo-patriots out there, and I'm talking about Goyim, I'm talking about Gentiles, okay, Jews, by the way, who are patriotic toward America and loyal to America and don't care about Israel are traitors to the Jewish people. Jews are supposed to be loyal first and foremost to the Jewish people and to Israel. That's supposed to be their number one concern. But you non-Jewish viewers who are loyal to Trump and who claim to be big patriots, make America great again. You don't care that he has so obviously completely sold the country out to Moscow, to the Kremlin, to America's number one international enemy. And you don't care. Russia is building nuclear bombs for terrorist Iran, and you don't care. Russia helped build nuclear bombs for terrorist North Korea, another country that Trump is bowing down to and kissing the North Korean dictator's tuchus. You don't care. Russia infiltrated and intervened in America's political process and America's elections in the most illegal and outrageous way, and you don't care. You don't care about any of this. None of this bugs. That's making America great again? This is the most insane situation you could possibly have. I mean, you people are insane. You have a leader who is completely bought and paid for by a foreign anti-American dictator, Putin, who a dictator who hates America, whose Russian media preaches hatred for America day and night, whose spy apparatus is aimed at weakening and hurting America in every way possible, and of course stealing America's secrets. And you don't care that Putin controls the president of the United States? When we had a Muslim president, Obama, you were outraged, justifiably. And when we had very weak and wimpy and appeasing and cowardly leaders like Bush or Bill Clinton, you were outraged, again, justifiably. I don't know about Bush if you were outraged. You were probably loyal Republicans. You probably weren't. The only reason we supported Bush at JTF, we hated Bush, but we supported Bush because Joe Lieberman would have been vice president in the year 2000 if Al Gore and Joe Lieberman, remember, Al Gore was the Democrat candidate for president, Joe Lieberman was the Democrat candidate for vice president. If they had been elected, we would have had a self-hating Jew as vice president. That would have been worse than Bush. For us, the worst thing is to have a Jew in the White House. A self-hating Jew in the White House is the ultimate nightmare for America, for Israel, for the world. That we have to oppose. We, by the way, before Al Gore picked Joe Lieberman as his running mate in 2000, we did not support Bush's re-election. We didn't support anybody. We were like we were in the Trump-Clinton race. We said we refused to support anybody. When Al Gore picked Joe Lieberman, then we immediately said you have to vote for Bush, even though he's terrible, in order to defeat Gore and Lieberman, the self-hating Jew. In 2004, we had the same situation with John Cohen. His father's name was really Cohen. Okay? So another, even though he's, halachically, he's not Jewish because his mother was not Jewish and it's the mother that determines. But he considered himself really to be half Jewish, even though he hid it from everybody because he was so ashamed and embarrassed and so filled with this vicious anti-Jewish poison in his blood. Yimach shmo v'zichro. May his name and memory be obliterated. So John Kerry, the anti-Semite, the vicious anti-Semite, because his father was Jewish, he hates the Jewish people. And so his father or his grandfather, whatever the situation is, he had some Jewish blood in him, and he hated that. He hated that like poison. And so he had to be defeated. If John Kerry had not been the nominee, if someone like Richard Gephardt, who's also a terrible left-wing Democrat, if he had been the nominee, we would have been neutral in 2004. We wouldn't have supported Bush for re-election. So the only time that we will support even a terrible, phony, conservative, pseudo-Republican, the only time we will do that is usually if a self-hating, is basically when a self-hating Jew is on the ticket, then we're going to do that. Also, if the Democrat candidate is so terrible on certain issues, for instance, we did support John McCain in 2008, even though we hated John McCain and we opposed him for the nomination and we did everything we could to stop him from getting the nomination, if you recall. But we ended up supporting him reluctantly because we didn't want Barack Hussein Obama to become president because Obama was so terrible, we were willing to support McCain against Obama. And the same thing in 2012. Mitt Romney was a terrible candidate, but again, because we wanted Obama out, we were willing to support Romney. So we have supported lesser of the evils. The problem in 2016, the problem with that campaign of Trump versus Hillary Clinton is that Trump was not the lesser of the evils against Hillary Clinton. And we see on Russia, there's no question when you see that summit, when you see what he's been giving in to Russia on, there's no question that Trump is worse than Hillary would have been on the issue of Russia. On the issue of Russia, he's worse than Hillary. There's no doubt about it. On the issue of North Korea, he's worse than Russia. No doubt about it. He's worse rather than Hillary. No doubt about it. On Russia and on North Korea, Hillary would not have been making the concessions and bowing down to these dictators as much as Trump is doing. Hillary's also was also a corrupt, evil, treacherous coward, a disgusting, evil, vicious human being, and a Jew hater also. Terrible person. But on Russia and North Korea, Trump has been even worse than she would have been. She wouldn't have been praising the North Korean dictator, the North Korean Hitler. She wouldn't have done at that summit in Helsinki with Putin what Trump did. Let me remind you, by the way, of some of the things Trump did. Trump said he has no reason to believe that Russia meddled in the 2016 presidential election. He had no reason to believe that he did. He says, we have a very strong denial from President Putin. He says, it's true my intelligence agencies all told me that Russia meddled and they claimed to they brought me evidence. He said, but I have a very strong denial from President Putin. And then he made it clear that he believes Putin. He believes Putin over his intelligence agencies. Even though later he tried to lie and wiggle his way out of it. You watch that press conference and tell me that he didn't support Putin over his own intelligence agencies. I mean, who are you lying to? You're lying to other people, you're lying to yourselves. He said very clearly, President Putin gave me a very strong denial. And now I have no reason to believe that Russia meddled in the 2016 election. He said that point blank in the press conference. Clearly said that. He has no reason to believe Russia meddled in the 2016 presidential election. Russia spent tens of millions of dollars, that's a lot of rubles, on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Google, tens of millions of dollars with thousands of phony accounts where they claim to be American citizens. They set up accounts pretending to be American citizens. They were all Russian nationals working for the Russian Defense Ministry, working for Russian intelligence, working for the Russian, today's equivalent to the Russian KGB. Thousands of accounts, all fake accounts on Twitter, on YouTube, on Facebook, on Google, all over the place, and spending tens of millions of dollars. They reached over 150 million American voters, repeatedly reached over 150 million American voters, over and over again with these messages, and everything they said in their messages, they were lying in the messages. They make up lies, literally make up fake news. That's where the term fake news really started, from the Russians. I mean, from what the Russians do, that's where the term fake news started, and Trump took it and uses the term now for the opposite meaning. But in any event, they repeatedly reached over 150 million voters. I mean, there's no question that they played a role in the election. And it's very possible, by the way, that Hillary Clinton would have won the election if not for this massive Russian interference, and it was massive Russian interference. And even though they say they didn't actually, when they hacked the polling sites, they didn't actually change the voting totals on the polling sites. That's what they say. They didn't say that they didn't convince voters to vote for Trump. That they might have done when they repeatedly reached over 150 million voters. Who knows how many of them were convinced to vote for Trump against Hillary as a result of the massive Russian advertising barrage that took place with organizations that looked like American patriotic organizations, that were really Russian KGB fronts. And all of this has been proven without any doubt. And dozens of Russian operatives and leading people in Russian military and the Russian intelligence agencies have all been indicted. Putin's not going to hand them over, but they've been indicted now on these charges. And the evidence, I mean, there's no question they have all of this documented. They're signing up for the sites, all documented. The payments, all documented. Who made the payments, where they came from, all documented, all traced and documented. And Trump says he has no reason to believe they interfered in the election. They interfered in the election on his behalf because they knew he would be a puppet. And then Trump praised Putin's suggestion. He praised his suggestion that Russian KGB agents come here and question Americans about, because Russia claims that Americans intervened in Russia's elections. Russia's elections? You know who runs in Russia's elections? You have three candidates for president: Putin, Putin, and Putin. And guess who you wind up voting for if you vote? You vote for Putin. Russia's elections? People who want to, who declare their candidacy to run against Putin or to run for the parliament against Putin were shot to death on the streets of Moscow. Russian elections? He shoots his opponents to death. Or he puts them in prison cells and kills them in prison. Russian elections? He even poisons with chemical agents, poisons. In London, he poisons his political opponents. He goes even to foreign capitals and uses chemical agents and poisons them with chemical agents in foreign capitals. Russian, and Putin was claiming at the press conference, the United States intervened in Russian elections. We claim you intervened in our elections because we're a democracy. And Trump was saying, oh, yeah, you know, you have a good point there. He said, that's an amazing suggestion you've made, that we can go and watch while you interview Russians who were indicted for intervening in our elections, and you'll send KGB people over here to interview Americans, and you'll interrogate Americans for interfering in our elections. That's a great, Trump thought it was a great idea, a great suggestion at the press conference. I mean, this was unbelievable. Unbelievable. And he was agreeing with Trump. I mean, he was agreeing with Putin. I say Putin and Trump interchangeably. Trump is a coward. He would never be a Putin. Putin is the master. Trump is the slave. Trump is just bluff. He's just orange bluff. He's just a coward. Bullies are cowards, okay? Trump has always been a bully. He's just a coward. But anyway, he was agreeing with Putin, agreeing with him. And remember, Trump has blocked the imposition of new sanctions on Russia repeatedly. He's refused to impose sanctions that Congress passes, and he's urged Congress not to pass new ones, and has gotten the Republicans to prevent the passing of new sanctions against Russia, even though there should be massive new sanctions against Russia after everything they've been doing on the world stage. I mean, Russia is responsible for giving the chemical weaponry that has murdered over 1 million people in the Syrian civil war. Russia is the one arming Hezbollah, arming Syria, arming the Iranians, building Iranian nuclear bombs. Russia's behind all of it. Russia's the number one nation doing all these horrifying things. Aside from what they do in Russia itself, aside from all their aggressions against their neighbors. And now, Donald Trump invites Vladimir Putin, even after all the attack and criticism of what he did at that summit, he now invites Vladimir Putin to come in the fall, to come this fall for another visit. He invites him for a summit to the United States. He invites him for another visit to the United States after all of this. This is just unbelievable. Unbelievable. Trump is allowing Russia to occupy Syria, Iraq, Lebanon. Russia, for the first time, is occupying and taking over the Middle East, taking over whole countries. Russia is setting itself up as Magog. There's Gog and Magog in the Bible. Gog and Magog. Gog is the dictator of the country of Magog. Magog is the country, the huge empire that's going to attack Israel in the end of days. Magog, it's called in the Bible. But it's so, I mean, it seems to be pretty obvious from the way it's described in the Bible that it's Russia. A country directly to the north of Israel, that's Russia. A country that is at the outer extremes of the north, which means that there are no countries to the north of that country, again, that's Russia. All of it seems to fit clearly. A huge empire with economic problems. All Russia. All seems to point to Russia, that Russia would be Magog, the country in the end of days that will eventually attack Israel. And now Russia's on Israel's northern border. And Trump supports it. Trump is giving Putin the ability to be saying, well, he's fighting ISIS. He has to occupy all of Syria and Iraq and Lebanon and have Russian forces there. Oh, he's fighting ISIS. He's fighting ISIS. They murdered over 1 million men, women, and children in the Syrian civil war. That's fighting ISIS. And now they're on Israel's northern border, which is a tremendous threat to Israel. And it's a threat to the United States as well. It is a threat to the United States. For Russia to have this huge foothold in Iran Iraq, Syria, and Lebanon, all the way from the Persian Gulf, all the way over to the Mediterranean. I mean, this is the most powerful position in terms of geography and the strategic implications, the most powerful position Russia has ever been in history. Never in history did Russia always dreamed of having access to all of these countries and the warm water ports of the Middle East. This is something Russia has always dreamed of. Only under Trump is this actually happening. It was happening too under Obama. No question about it. Obama was terrible. It happened under Obama too. But the difference was that at least Obama was objecting to it. At least Obama said he was against it. At least Obama was imposing sanctions and was against it. Trump is supporting what Russia's doing and praising Russia's occupation and invasion of all these countries and control of the Middle East. Trump is praising it. He's acting like they're doing something wonderful. What a horrible, horrible joke we have as a president. And it's just amazing. People who say they're American patriots and who say, make America great again, are supporting this, are agreeing with this and supporting this. We had people on our forum who were against us because we supported the Serbs. They said, well, the Serbs support the Russians. We don't want anybody who supports the Russians. We had people on our forum. We had a brother and a sister on our forum who did hundreds of posts complaining that we supported the Serbs when the Serbs support the Russians. Complain, how can you say, wow, they support the Russians. The Russians are so terrible. Now this same brother and sister support Donald Trump, who is a puppet of the Russians. What happened to you not allowed to support the Russians? All of a sudden, the Russians, whom they so hated, are now good people because Trump said so. Anything Trump said, if Trump tells them to jump off a cliff, they'll jump off a cliff. Anything Trump tells them, they're members of a cult. This is a cult. How could anybody see that summit in Helsinki with Trump and Putin together? How could anybody watch that and not be humiliated and embarrassed as an American? I mean, it was the most humiliating, embarrassing thing you could ever see. I thought it was nauseating when Barack Hussein Obama went on his apology tour all over the world. But this was even worse. I mean, this was someone who pretends to be a Republican and a conservative and make America great again. All right, Obama, we know he's a traitor. At least we know he's the enemy. But Trump was supposed to be the American patriot, and this is what he's doing? Horrible. JTF has told the truth, and we paid a very heavy price. But you know, you learn one thing from JTF in the past 3 years, since June 2015, when Trump announced his candidacy. You learn one thing. You learn who the people, the real phonies are, and you learn who the people who have principles are. You got to admit one thing. JTF in the United States, its English language movement, was devastated. Remember how many more members we had and how much more support we had? We took a devastating blow for the past 3 years and have not backed down. At least you know that we tell you what we really think and are willing to take unpopular stands. That you don't see with anybody else. Everybody else retreated right away. You know, if they saw it was unpopular, they right away retreated and started supporting Trump. We never gave an inch. We continued to say what we believe in and continue to tell the truth. You got to admit that. You got to give us that. I mean, you got to give us that, that at least this is one group that no matter what, come hell or high water, we tell the truth and we stand for the truth, even when we pay a very heavy price. Isn't it reassuring at least to know there's at least one group you can trust to tell you what they really think, to tell you the truth, no matter what? Isn't that something that's very rare in this generation? It's almost you almost never find it anywhere. And that's what we want to bring to the people of Israel. Help us do it. Help us do it so that we can bring final redemption for Israel, for the Jews, for the world. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.